Chapter 4. Steve is drawing. No, he is writing. Drawing is not black lines. Other ones. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Big hands, fingers curled around the pen. Fast, sharp jabs, like a map. Squeaks. Steve Rogers holds up the paper. Black lines, curves, angles. A dot. Not like the picture. The little guy. He is waiting. What is he waiting for? What does he want? What does he want? Steve Rogers is talking. Concentrate. Don't lose time. Can't lose time, even though... It's okay, Steve Rogers says. It's okay. Just focus for a second. Look at it. Can you... Question. What is the question? Look up. Look at Steve Rogers, not the paper. Hand in a circle. I don't know. Don't know the question. Was there a question? Teeth hurt, bite down, jaw hurts, fat tongue. What is the question? All right. Good. Where did you... Do you know what this is? The picture. Big hands. Yellow stains. That's some real artistry there, pal. 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 Steve says pal. Said it. He said pal. Losing time. Hand in a circle. Don't know. Eyes hurt like sharpened sand. Don't lose time. Focus. 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 Wrong hand. The arm. Hide it. He can't see. Don't let him see. Scratch in the floor. Tap. Tap. Drag. 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 Breathe. It's okay. This is Kilroy. Kilroy was here. Steve Rogers is upset. Breath fast, leaning closer. What are you trying? The pen is still on the paper, in the hand. The black pen, black dot, drop it. Everything hurts. Chest shakes. Everything hurts. Cold, the eyes, the mouth, the nose, and the chest shaking. Bad. It is bad. Thumbs down for bad. Sorry, Steve Rogers says. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Hands up, palms out. Fourth and fifth fingers crunch down on the paper. The picture, like on the ship. Scratch in the floor. Tap, tap. Drag, drag, drag. Tap, tap, tap. Are you an American? A GI? Over here. Over here. Hey, pal. Smile. Teeth. Smoke. Is that what... Are you trying to tell me you're an American? Question. There's a question. Respond. Immediately. Hand in a circle. Hand in a circle is... I don't know. All right. We're going to... Steve Rogers is off the ground. So tall. Hey, pal. Still. Be still. Steve's breathing is loud. Louder. The picture crinkles. Calm down. Calm down. Don't lose time. Can't lose time. He's going. He's leaving. Where is he going? Nod if you can read this. Sam smoothed the wrinkled paper out on the console. Steve's draftsman print was clear, crisp, sharp. So, he can't talk. He can't read. He's got fucking implants in his entire goddamn body. How is this? He cut himself off. We need a new plan here. This is not, Hill began carefully. She exhaled slowly through her nose. This is not something I've seen before. Jesus, I'd hope not. Sam laced his fingers together and rested them on the back of his head, leaning backwards in his chair. I've got a fucking headache. Steve strode over to the small refrigerator in the corner of the observation room and crouched down, pulling it open and tossing a bottled water in Sam's direction. Tired but reflexes intact, Sam's hand snatched it out of the air. Thanks. Steve didn't say anything. He grabbed one of his own, twisted the cap, and began gulping it down as he stood back up. After half of it was gone, he swallowed and wiped the back of his mouth. He drew this. He reached out and slid the Kilroy drawing in front of Hill. Look at this. Look at it. Kilroy was here, she said aloud. The cartoon that soldiers... That we drew, Steve interrupted her. We drew this. In the war. He swallowed tightly. His stomach roiled. Is it possible that he's... He couldn't think about how Dum Dum used to draw it fucking everywhere. Hell, he'd scratched it into a damn tree with his bayonet while they were taking fire. And Bucky used to go over his masterpieces and add a little hat. I drew it too, said Sam, when I was in theater. It's still a thing, Cap. But the Winter Soldier's been operating for 50 years, Steve countered. That's what Nat said. Even if it wasn't my war. You're thinking he's a POW, said Hill. She was scrolling through the footage of the past 15 minutes. She paused on a frame of the soldier with his head bent over the drawing, hair obscuring the mask. Steve could see the soldier's white-knuckled grip on the marker. That's one angle we might be able to... You know what? It doesn't actually matter, Sam cut in flatly. He reached forward and pinned Steve's hastily contrived test with his index finger. Look at this. Don't forget this. It doesn't matter if he was a soldier or a POW or whatever. We know that he was a prisoner. Kidnapping? False imprisonment? Whether it was Hydra or S.H.I.E.L.D. or us, right now, this is not a guy who volunteered for this shit. We know that, Wilson. Hill's voice was cool. She was still clicking through the tape frame by frame. But it is still worth figuring out who he is, what he knows. No, it's not. Sam's voice cracked through the air. This is a victim. He's unstable. He's not going to be interrogated. Not anymore. He's going to get medical attention. Real medical attention. We're going to get that fucking mask off him and get him some goddamn help. Sam's right. Steve crossed his arms over his chest. He's right. We need to be helping him, not putting new handcuffs on him. He tried not to think of the way the soldier had forced his arms forward, so afraid that the tendons of his intact forearm practically vibrated with tension, that he flinched the moment Steve's hand brushed his. Look, said Hill, turning away from the screen in the chair and rolling to face both of them. I am sympathetic. What's been done to him? She shook her head sharply, once, twice, grimaced. It is unacceptable. It is inhumane. But Sam said it. He's unstable. What that means is that he's dangerous. Her jaw tightened. Tell me I'm wrong. He hasn't been violent once, not since he came out of sedation, Steve defended. He's been cooperating. No, Steve, said Hill quietly. He's afraid. This is for you, Steve said, as he eased himself down on the ground, maybe 2 yards away from the soldier. He held up the bottled water to show him. No straw. We're working on that. But the holes, I think if you want to try it, you might be able to make it work. Carefully keeping his movements slow and smooth, Steve set the bottle on its side and gave it a little push so it rolled in the soldier's direction. His eyes dropped from Steve's face to track the bottle's progress. Next up will be some Gatorade, or something with nutrients, to make you feel better. But for now, Steve gestured at the bottle and held up his own. Just water. The soldier was calm as he'd been so far. Steve wondered how much of it was his adrenaline finally running low versus getting comfortable in his presence. Judging by the fact that not too long ago Steve had been beating his face in, he guessed it was probably the latter. You can twist the cap off, Steve started, demonstrating. That one's yours. You can drink it. It seemed that he'd been waiting for permission. The metal hand shot forward, grabbed the bottle so forcefully that the plastic crinkled and snapped, tore off the cap, tilted his head back, and just poured it over the mask. It was uncomfortable to watch. Perhaps because the mask kept his jaw closed. That's what the radiologist had noted, anyway. It was something to do with the placement of the pins. It sounded like he was forced to suck the water in through the filtration unit, pull it through his teeth, and inhale at the same time, all before he could swallow. He mistimed it a few times, and coughed raggedly, wetly, as the water was trapped in his windpipe. His eyes streamed. He didn't stop, though, not until the bottle was empty. Water that hadn't made it to his mouth beaded under his jaw, where it had escaped the mask, and ran down his throat, leaving pale streaks in the dirt. More water still had soaked into the collar of the scrub shirt. Sam said you might feel a little sick if you haven't eaten in a while, so you can have more after that settles. Carefully, Steve did not think about emaciated bodies in striped clothes and awful, weak, hoarse coughs and groans, the pungent reek of dysentery and tuberculosis and... The soldier carefully replaced the cap on the bottle. His hand twisted in some too-fast-to-catch gesture before abruptly stilling and clenching into a fist. Steve swallowed. He had 6 signs to communicate. 6. Let's come up with some more signs for you, okay? Carefully, Steve pulled the tips of his fingers and thumb together on both hands, tapping them together. This means more. If you want more water, more food, more anything, that's what you use, okay? The soldier's Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed. His eyes were narrowed, paying rapt attention to Steve's hands. The metal hand gripped and clawed at his knee. There was a rip in the thin cotton there, no doubt from him doing the exact thing over and over again, a grounding tactic, the only one he seemed to have. Okay, so that's more, Steve said after an awkward beat. He thought back to the images Sam had pulled up on his phone. This is. He flattened one hand and rested his other fist on top of it, thumb extended. Help. If you need help. Okay? Slowly, the soldier nodded. Yes. They went through three more, the index, middle, and ring finger extended in a W shape against the mouth, for water. Flattened hand rubbed in circles over the chest, for please. The thumb and pinky extended, pulled from the forehead, for why.
You can use those any time, Steve said quietly. You don't need to wait to be asked questions. Got it?
Nod. Yes.
Great. Good. Good job. Steve cleared his throat. There's another thing.
But the soldier was moving. He lifted his metal hand to where his mouth was, under the mask, and formed the W. Water. He moved the hand to his chest, motioned the circle. Please. His hand dropped. He stared at Steve, utterly focused, completely motionless, so still he seemed to have stopped breathing altogether. Steve grinned at him, surprised, delighted.
You got it, pal. Good one.
He twisted to the left, dug inside his deep tactical pants pocket for the second unopened bottle he'd brought in with him. He turned back to the soldier and rolled it to him, the same maneuver as the previous time. This time he didn't catch it. He didn't snatch it from the floor. He didn't seem to notice it was there. He just stared, his eyes wide, bloodshot, fixed on Steve.
You with me? No word for this. No sign. Eyes bright and blue, open, lit up, light the world up, pal.
That was him. Blink, eyes sting, the salt, chest hurts, rub in a circle. Please, 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 Steve. Steve Rogers is talking. Don't miss it, pal. Can't miss this.
You okay?
Can't move. Don't move. Hurts. Everything on the inside. Shaking. Steve Rogers is closer. He moved. He moved. Closer. Eyebrows together. Talking. Can't hear him. Lips moving. No sound. Focus. 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 Where is this?
Good one, Buck.
Tilted hat cloud of smoke. No. Steam. It's just me. From the mouth. Come on, Steve.
Just breathe. Come on, Steve Rogers says. You're okay. Don't know what I did. I'm sorry. Just keep breathing.
Breathe. Breathe. Mouth wet and dry. Listen. Focus. Respond immediately.
Good hit.
What hit? No hit.
Doing great, Steve Rogers says.
Looking good. Steve's hand on his shoulder. Steve Rogers' hand warmed to the touch through the pajama shirt.
Just keep breathing, pal. Come on, do it with me. Breathe in for one, two, three.
Thump the hand, rub back and forth. Breathe out. Three, two.
Good. Breathe out. Three, two, one.
Please, 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 please. Rub chest, flattened palm in a circular motion. Please, please. Chapter 5.
Making friends, huh?
Steve's head snapped up as he slowly re-entered the control room. He already felt shaky, off balance, from the last few hours. Tony's surprise appearance certainly wasn't going to help.
Tony, he greeted dumbly, glancing back through the observation window at the huddled figure he'd left up against the wall, and then back to his teammate.
He came in a few minutes ago, Sam offered uncomfortably.
We didn't want to,
interrupt your little, therapy session in there? Tony completed the thought, the hard edge to his tone exposing the bravado for what it was. His hands were buried in his pockets, but the defined lines of his forearms, their straining tendons, made his tension obvious. He looked awful. His hair was grimy and unwashed, the normally precise edges of his goatee blurred, the lines in his face more pronounced than ever. He reeked of hooch, and his t-shirt had the crumpled, overstretched look of clothing worn for too many consecutive days.
Steve shook his head.
Tony, I don't know what...
He stopped and cleared his throat.
He's a victim, he said firmly. In his mind, he saw the soldier's panic, his gaze fixed on Steve, the one hand asking, please, 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 and the other digging into his own thigh with such force that Steve had seen the bruises blooming dark and purple through the shredded cotton pants. He carefully focused on Tony.
I know we think he...
killed my parents. Tony's voice sliced through the room. It wasn't really a question.
Killed Howard and your mother, but we don't have any evidence yet, and even if...
About that. Tony cut in. He withdrew a little device from one of his pockets. A little wild-eyed, he tossed it onto the console with an ominous thunk.
This is what he's got in his...
He gestured to his torso, a distaste twisting his expression.
It's for insulin.
He's diabetic now? Sam asked in disbelief.
Seriously?
No, said Tony tightly.
I said it's for insulin.
He dragged a hand through his hair, throwing it into fresh disarray. When he dropped his hand back down, the dirt and sweat and God knew what else kept the new coiffure in place.
It's not even turned on in him.
He jerked a thumb towards the viewing window.
It's empty. The scans show it's empty, deactivated. They just left it in there. In him.
And where did you get this? Hill asked calmly, picking up the little device and inspecting it. Reverse engineered?
No, Tony repeated. It's a prototype. From the 50s. Never went to market. Too expensive.
What does it do? Steve asked, at the same time as Hill inquired. How do you know?
Tony's eyes shuttled back and forth between them. It's meant to regulate the flow of a medication. Or a drug. It's programmed with...
He fluttered a hand in the air, clearly searching for the right words, before unleashing in a torrent.
It can sample the blood and dispense medication in reaction to what it finds there. Very rudimentary, but it could also be radio-controlled. Again, too expensive for the market at that time, and it didn't work precisely with the dispensation. Too dangerous. Never even went to the FDA.
Stark, said Sam flatly.
How do you know?
Tony's jaw clenched.
Go ahead, buddy.
Of course, sir.
Jarvis's voice floated down from one of his omnipresent speakers.
Deputy Director, I'll be taking over control of your screen.
A second later, the metrics and measures, the maps and the diagrams, that Hill had been analyzing while Steve had been trying to help the soldier through... his fit? Panic attack? All disappeared from the monitor and were replaced with a series of scanned design schematics, all clearly intended for the little device sitting innocuously on the console. Steve stepped closer, rubbing briefly at gritty eyes before focusing his attention on the drawings.
1956, Tony continued. That's when this is from. 56. Stark Industries didn't even have a biomedical division back then, but we had a contract with S.H.I.E.L.D.
His voice was tightly controlled.
And not too many engineers were read into that contract, either.
Hill flicked her fingers in the direction of one of the drawings, expanding and zooming into the little box next to the stamped seal, with its signature.
H. Stark, P.E., she read aloud.
There are other names, but...
That's the only one I care about. That's his name. That's his seal.
Tony rocked back onto his heels, staring in through the transparent monitor to their prisoner. The soldier's body was limp, his back propped up by the corner in which he had pressed himself hours ago, his legs stretched out in front of him, one arm resting motionlessly in his lap, the other having slid to the floor beside him. His eyes were open. He was staring at something only he could see. Steve didn't know if it was better or worse than him hyperventilating, afraid, unable to communicate beyond pleading for something. If it was better, it wasn't by much. 1956, Sam said. That's 60 years ago, man. It never went into production, Tony said tersely, zeroed in onto the soldier. I can't find any records of it being manufactured, except for one delivered by courier to some building in New Jersey. In 1956. He glanced over at Steve, his expression furious and intense. My father wasn't Hydra. You knew him, he spat out. He worked against them, not for them. Steve's gut clenched in an echo of that awful betrayal, that slow, despairing realization that S.H.I.E.L.D. was rotten from the inside out. He swallowed it down. So did I, he said grimly. Tony stared at him sharply, searchingly, until a second later he blew out a huff of compressed air. His breath smelled sour. It's my turn to play Clarice, he said abruptly. I've got questions. Let me reiterate, Sam drew out, that I think this is a bad fucking idea. I've seen the footage, Tony snapped. I know. Darth Vader's traumatized, he's illiterate, he's afraid. Got it. I'm going to ask him questions, Wilson. He killed my parents. You don't think I deserve some answers? I think he deserves therapy and medical treatment. My house, my rules, Tony interrupted harshly. Answers about dead parents first, dinosaur band-aids second. Tony, Steve's voice was stern. Don't you want to know? Tony burst out, tossing a hand in the direction of the small white room and its motionless occupant. He was your friend. Of course I want to know, Steve bit back. I want to know who Hydra had him kill, who was in charge, when it all started, where their bases are, how many of them are still alive. I want to know everything. But Tony, look at him. That's not the mastermind. But he did it, Cap. But we don't know that. Steve reached out and settled his hand on Tony's shoulder. What we do know isn't good. He finished lamely, struggling to articulate just how claustrophobic it was in that room, how tense, how the soldier's fear was so potent it seemed to clog Steve's lungs. Just, can you be fair? Tony shot him a withering look. Are you asking if I'm sober? If that's what it takes for you to be fair. Jesus, Cap, Tony spat out, jerking himself away from Steve's hand. I'm fine, I'm sober, I'm ready to play nice with the murderer. Let's go. The soldier was staring at both of them through strands of greasy hair. He'd come back to himself the second the door had opened, had somehow clawed himself out of that unsettling blankness, what Sam had called dissociation. Though it's hard to tell for sure, since, you know, he'd said and gestured at his own face. Now his entire awareness seemed drained on them. He lurched to his feet at the sight of Tony and backed himself against the opposing wall. The second water bottle remained unopened, and judging by the way he seemed to sway on his feet, it was clear that he was nearing the last reserves of his strength or adrenaline. It was also the most he'd moved in the 5 days they'd had him. Easy, said Steve, raising his hands in the same way Bucky had once done to try and defuse schoolyard fights or nervous civilians deep behind enemy lines. This is Tony Stark. You know who I am? Tony asked. I mean, I'm assuming you do. If you don't, well, he gave a practiced shrug. That'd be insulting. Reluctantly, the soldier pulled his scrutiny away from Steve and towards Tony. He shook his head once, slowly. His right hand was compressed into a tight fist. The left, the fingers were extended, twitching, as if he were ready to quick draw. Ouch, said Tony humorlessly. What about you, then, Michael Myers? Who are you? You got a name? The pace of the soldier's breathing began to increase. He glanced back to Steve, questioning, confused, as if to say, I don't know the words for this. He doesn't know his name, Tony, said Steve quietly. Or, he amended, he can't write it down, at least. Why don't you let the big boy assassin over there answer for himself, Cap? Tony returned flatly. Hey, you. You got a name?
This time, the soldier's attention didn't waver. He remained locked into Steve, his brow furrowed, the flesh of his cheeks where they met the edges of the mask almost deformed from its constrictions. Steve could almost imagine his face beneath it, the expression of confusion, of total bewilderment, as he searched for the answers to the endless questions and just couldn't find them.
Tony snapped his fingers. Yoo-hoo! Zorro! Over here!
It took what felt like minutes, but the soldier did finally look back to Tony. No.
How about Howard Stark? Maria Stark? You know those names?
An agitated pull of the brow, another shake of the head.
Fuck, Tony spit out. You don't know if... Did you kill them? Here, look.
Tony made a series of violent gestures at the heavily reinforced one-way glass, sudden movements that made the soldier grow, if possible, even more tense. Two formal portrait photographs, the first of Howard Stark, as Tony must have known him, white-haired and thin, and the second of a beautiful older woman appeared on the screen.
Right there, Tony said, jerking his arm out towards them. Howard and Maria, my parents, did you...
The soldier took three hesitant steps forward, towards the glass. His bare feet were silent on the floor. He cocked his head, lank hair swaying, and stared at the two images.
Did you? Tony repeated. Did you do it? Were they Hydra? Is that right? Were they moles? Did you do it?
Tony, Steve said gently. He doesn't know. Tony's gaze jolted down to the soldier's hand, curled into a loose circle. I don't know.
Are you fucking... Is this some kind of joke?
He snarled.
He doesn't know? Look, their pictures are right there. It's a simple question.
As quickly as he'd sprung to his feet moments before, the soldier abruptly backed away, no longer paying attention to the images, his eyes wide with fear. Please, I don't know. Please. He seemed, Steve searched for the word, fascinated.
Tony shot him a sour look. The mask's not a lampshade, Cap. He's not a golden retriever.
What? Tony rolled his eyes and dropped his face into his hand, digging one thumb into the corner of his eye as if hunting out the source of a headache.
Forget it.
He's using please as sorry, announced Sam, his arms folded over his chest as he watched the tape of the encounter. He did it with you, too, Steve. Steve frowned. When he...
It's his go-to, Sam said, glancing backwards at the two of them. He hasn't even used why. He used water, I don't know, no, and yes. And please, about 100 times. What's your point, new guy? Tony inquired acerbically. He's a polite assassin, at least.
No. Sam's tone was frosty. He's used to begging. He paused. So how about that dinosaur band-aid? Tony exhaled wearily.
I'll do you one better, he said finally. He looked up at Steve. You want to go kick some ass?
So what exactly do you think this place is? Hill asked as they crowded around the monitors in Tony's laboratory. And how did you find it?
I've had every server Jarvis has got working on that data dump, Tony explained, attention unwavering as his fingers flew over the holographic letters and symbols and widgets of his incomprehensible workstation. And with Hannibal back there in a Faraday cage and about 4 transmitters that we know of buried in his wetware, I figure that between the information Natalie dumped into the new improved Boston Harbor of the digital age and wherever those transmitters are getting data from...
Hydra Base... Steve concluded, leaning against the cluttered surface of one of Tony's workbenches. The one he operated from, even.
Gold Star, Cap, said Tony. Take a look.
A satellite image appeared in midair.
I spoofed the signals on those transmitters, tweaked the data packets, and let them bounce around on a couple of satellites and cell phone towers, waited to see what happened. Well, Jarvis did. And what do you know, we triangulated 2 of those signals to right here.
And that's a... what, a bank? Sam asked, leaning in.
A bank in Crystal City? Looks that way, Hill agreed, her eyes rapidly tracking the action on Tony's monitors. Any activity since you've been monitoring it?
What makes you think I've been monitoring it?
Hill shot him an unimpressed glare.
Fine, I've had a geosynced satellite on it for the last 2 days. Sue me, Tony snarked. Or try to. I have excellent lawyers. No activity since Captain Fantastic over here destroyed half of DC. Nothing in or out, according to the satellite or local CCTV. No unusual spikes on the grid. But... He flicked another file up on yet another screen. These are its utility records.
What, are they late paying their bill or something?
Why don't you just stick to falling with style, Buzz? The building routinely consumes about 4 times the energy of a facility of comparable size and type. 5,600 megawatt hours a year. For a bank. And their peak demand, Tony pointed out a particularly spiky squiggle on the chart, is off the charts. They're running something big here, something that draws up to 25 megawatt hours a day, and occasionally, Tony exaggeratedly mimed an explosion.
And can you guess when the last time that happened was?
I suppose you're going to tell us. Hill's tone was dry.
Way to ruin it, and yes, the morning of the Triskelion, Tony finished.
He spun around in his chair to face them head on.
And Jarvis has found about 400 layers of shell corporations involved in its ownership. A milfoy, if you will, of treason.
His mouth twisted into an ugly, determined slash.
So, like I said, you want to go kick some ass?
Chapter 6. So how long's it gonna be? Steve heaved a tired sigh, reaching up to massage at his neck.
He said about 8 hours to fabricate the suit.
Sam looked unimpressed, leaning forward on the kitchen island of the guest apartment they were sharing.
I don't give a shit about the suit, Steve.
It's pretty neat, Steve volleyed weakly, stepping over to the kitchen area and pulling open the refrigerator door to examine the contents. It had been hours since he'd eaten.
I'm talking about medical care, Sam said flatly. Medical care. Interrogation first, band-aid second. That was the rule, and it's his house, his rules.
The words were mocking, but Sam's voice was too hard to make them seem like much of a joke.
I know you're talking about medical care.
Steve swung the door shut, not finding anything appealing, and turned to face his friend.
We talked about it. He's not budging on the outside stuff, but he's working on a plan.
Tony had been adamant in the agonizing debate they'd had on the subject after starting to plan out their infiltration of the Hydra Bank.
He'll get fed and watered, he'd bit out. We're working on it, but I'm not putting some soccer mom in there with him so she can get her neck snapped the second she asks too many consecutive questions.
He's not budging?
Sam was incredulous.
That's not an option. The dude hasn't eaten in at least 5 days, Steve. He's had 16 ounces of water.
He hurt one of the nurses when he woke up from sedation the day we got here, Steve reminded him. Broke her arm, gave her a concussion. And with the mask, Tony's right. We can't force somebody to try and help under those circumstances.
They're doctors. That's what they do. Have you ever seen a doctor not try to help somebody who's in distress like that? Come on.
I know, Steve said, though not doctors, not really. Other than Dr. Erskine, he'd never had great experiences with either the qualified ones or the snake oil salesman claiming to be. But combat medics?
He'd seen them run straight into hell, into machine gun fire, to try to get to a man down, even a man so far gone he'd stopped screaming for his ma.
The mask might blow up.
Sam snorted in disbelief.
And the great Tony Stark, you're telling me he can't figure out a way to get it off?
He's working on it. He wants better scans, and he wants to find out what we find out at this bank. I'm not happy about it either, Sam.
In fact, Steve felt sick about it, even as he recognized the reality of their predicament.
That's why we're going to DC.
I'm not, Sam said flatly. I'm staying. I'm not leaving him here in this fucking building by himself.
Abruptly, Steve remembered. Pararescue. Sam had done that, run headlong into a combat zone, or flown in, to help an injured airman, civilians, whoever needed it. You're a good man. Steve folded his forearms over one another, leaned against the island countertop. I know this isn't what you signed up for. We passed that point a long-ass time ago, Cap, Sam retorted. I'm more concerned about the fact that this isn't what he signed up for.
This is not a bad idea, actually,
said Hill over the speakerphone, locked down as she was combing through the details of the bank and God knew what else.
Get him accustomed to people other than Steve, who aren't Stark.
Yeah, I'm a smart guy, Sam agreed, as he surveyed the boxes now piled in the corner of the observation room. Steve leaned over and looked in at the mishmash of goods inside them, spotting a sweatshirt, a bedroll, books, socks, a blanket, a couple of miscellaneous cords and cables. That and my mom has been after me to get this stuff out of her house for years.
I don't need the play-by-play, Wilson,
Hill said briskly.
Let me know how it goes. Hill out.
Yeah. Steve looked in through the glass. The full water bottle was gone from its place against the wall, where it had rolled, forgotten by the soldier once Tony had entered the cell.
Did he touch the water?
Yeah, he did. Good for him, Sam replied as he squared up his stack of printouts with a couple of quick taps to the table.
So, you gonna introduce me, or...
I think it's a good idea, said Steve. Though who knows if he trusts me after getting the third degree from Stark.
Good one, said Sam lightly, reaching past Steve to dig into one of the boxes and extract two paperbacks.
He doesn't trust anyone, Steve.
Aw, shit.
Steve snatched it before it hit the ground, to Sam's mumbled thanks as he set the other book down on the console and went back to rifling through the box.
The Once and Future King, Steve read aloud. T.H. White. He grinned. Is this the Sword and the Stone?
Sam craned his neck to see the cover. Yeah, that's the first book. There's four of them.
No kidding.
Real delight was rare these days, so rare that it took Steve a second to even recognize it in himself.
I read this, God, I read it to my friend's kid sister, when it came out. She ran around calling herself Warp for weeks.
He opened the front cover.
Proper D of Sammy Wilson, age 9. And this whole time I've been calling you Sam. Oh, that's nothing, Sam rolled his eyes. My nickname in middle school was Guppy. Then it was Gup for short by the time I made varsity football. Senior year they even put a jersey together with just that on the back. Guppy? Like a fish?
Sam shot him an exaggerated grin, then clicked his teeth together twice.
The moneymaker, man. It started off as Gappy and...
Unexpectedly, Steve laughed.
Gup, I like it.
Sure enough, two empty plastic bottles, their caps replaced, were lined up in the corner next to the soldier. He was sitting cross-legged with his head bowed forward, but when the door entered, he looked up at them. Tension zinged through him and the room at the sight of Sam.
Hey there, Steve greeted quietly. No questions this time, not unless you have some for us.
The soldier stared intently at him, then raised his hand to his forehead, pulled it down into the thumb and pinky stretch.
Why? Steve blinked. Was that a joke? Good one, he said finally, to zero reaction from the soldier.
He gestured to Sam, who had set down one of the boxes he'd assembled in the control room on the floor, but kept the sheaf of printouts under his arm.
This is Sam. You met him once before.
He cast Sam an apologetic look.
Yeah, I'm the one with the wings, Sam continued easily.
He leaned against the wall, his thumbs hooked into his pockets.
You remember that?
The soldier squinted, then nodded. Other than his eyes, which traveled in juddering hitches from Steve, to the box, to Steve, to Sam, whom he seemed to inspect, and then back to Steve, his body was still.
Good. No hard feelings, then, said Sam. I'm not here to hurt you. I ain't mad. I've got some stuff in that box right there, things that are going to make this place a little more comfortable for you. Do you understand?
The soldier looked over at the box and cocked his head, like he had when he'd seen the images of Howard and Maria.
"You can go and look if you want," said Sam. "Your choice. And I've got some water for you, too, since you finished off that other one."
"I'm going to be gone for a little while," Steve interjected gently, feeling the need to explain Sam's presence. "I'm coming back, but Sam's going to look out for you, okay?"
The soldier's attention had peeled away from the box the second Steve had started talking.
Frankly, that's what happened the second Steve did anything.
Now he stared at him, with those small folds at the corners of his eyes, the crinkle of his forehead. He wasn't entirely inscrutable, even with his face covered, but it was so difficult to see him. How difficult must it be, Steve then realized, for him to be seen. The soldier lifted his hands, touched all his fingertips together. More. Then the hand to the chest, the sign Steve would be seeing in his dreams, over and over again, moving in a circle. Please.
"More what, pal?"
he asked, crouching down. The soldier shrank back, even as his eyes focused even more intently on Steve.
"More water?"
He shook his head, barely, remaining zeroed in. "No."
"That's what this is for," Sam said, holding out the printouts in his hands. "We gotta get you some more words, man. When Steve comes back, you can explain, okay?"
It took a second, but the soldier did eventually look over at the papers. Sam flipped one around and held it up, hands making some sort of gesture. Steve saw the minute it connected. The soldier's eyes went wide, for once not with fear, and he actually leaned forward, as if to get a closer look at the words that were so close, so nearly in reach.
"Yeah, man, I got this," said Sam in a low voice. "Take off, okay? Get some damn answers."
"First things first," Sam, the one with the wings, says. He reaches over to the container and pulls something out of it. It's cloth, blue and big, and then socks. Socks that are gray.
"These are for you. I'm wearing actual clothes and I'm cold in here, jeez."
Sam leans down, drops the clothes, slides them forward with his foot. "Clothes. It's just a sweatshirt, some socks, but if you want, you can wear them." "They're right there. It's cold. It's cold in here."
"Oh, that's a good one, actually. Cold. Here, check this out."
Sam looks at the papers. The papers with all the hands. Two fists up to his chest. Wiggle the two fists.
"That means cold."
Two wiggling fists for cold. Make fists. Wiggle them.
"Yeah, I bet you are," Sam says. "All right, you can, if you want, put those on. The socks and the sweatshirt. I got a blanket in here, too, and a pillow that's in the other room. I'll leave them here and you can use them."
"It's cold." "The socks are there, they're right there."
"Is there anything worse than goddamn wet socks?"
"Reach out. Take a sock. It's soft, but not that soft. Pull it on. Fingers tap each toe. 1, 2, 3, 5. And then the other sock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
"Nice," Sam says. "Looking good."
Thumbs up. "Good."
"Okay, so I'm not an expert or anything," Sam says.
"Good one, Sarge.
But these signs are gonna help. So now that you've got some socks, we'll learn 'em together."
The papers, with drawings, hands, hands for words. Sam pushes them forward, slow.
"Can you show me what you already got?"
"Look up." Sam is sitting now, not standing. Where did the time go?
Across the room 3 meters. Head hurts. Water goes too fast. That was a request. "Can you show me what you already got?" The words.
Nod for yes.
Shake for no. Hand in a circle for I don't know. Thumbs up for good. Thumbs down for bad. Flat hand for neutral. Fingers together for more. Fist in hand for help. 3 fingers spiked out to the forehead for water. Flat hand on the chest in a circle for please. Please, please, please. Thumb and pinky stretched apart, slipped away from the head for why.
"Damn, man, that's really good. Nice job."
Smile. There's a smile with teeth. He's sitting, not moving. Thumbs up for good. He didn't ask, but the thumb goes up anyway. Thumbs up for more words. Focus. Head hurts. Throat hurts. Coughing, can't open teeth, the cough goes straight through. Focus for the new words. He laughs.
Yeah, thumbs up. Right back at ya.
Okay, so, I'm gonna stay right here. You can reach out and get those. It's written what they mean, so if you look at the sign, then show me the paper. I can tell you what it means.
What is this?
Focus. Sam is giving more words, but doesn't know them. Where are they coming from? Where did Steve Rogers go? Steve, where are you? Steve, where are you? Come on.
It's okay if you don't want to. If you want me to show them to you, I can do that too. Your choice.
11 words. Use them, pal. Come on. Hand in a circle. I don't know. Thumb and pinky. Why? Fingers together. More. Sam smiles again. Eyebrows go up. Make eyebrows go up, too.
Look at you, man. Been signing for a day and you're already putting sentences together. Nicely done.
Okay, the reason we're doing more signs is because we want to help. I want you to be able to communicate until we can get that mask off you.
What? What? Can't. Wasn't it always there? No, it wasn't. He was awake.
This'll shut him the fuck up.
Easy, easy. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have sprung it on you like that.
Sam, it's Sam. Sam is talking.
I'm sorry, he says again and shows him a paper. A paper with hands on it. Fist with a thumb on top.
Like, please, put a fist.
This means sorry, Sam says. He does it. He does it to his own chest with his own fist.
Sorry. He is the one saying sorry.
There are more signs, more papers with hands. Focus on them, not on the mask. It hurts, it hurts, it hurts.
This is an important one, Sam says. He is not smiling. The smile is gone. Eyebrows are not up. This is the most important sign, got it?
Mouth dry, head hurts. Most important sign. Not even though the head hurts to move. Nod for yes.
Good, Sam says, and says thumbs up at the same time.
This is it. Here you go.
Both hands flat. Left hand level, like neutral. Right hand up and down, and it chops down on the left hand. Move the hands to match. Left hand flat. Right hand chop.
It means stop, says Sam.
Stop.
It's the most important sign, okay? You say stop if you want somebody to stop, to back off, whatever it is. All you gotta do is...
He says, stop.
Do you understand?
Can't breathe. Can't breathe.
Can't breathe. Throat hurts. Head hurts. Stop.
I want you to try it.
Look, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna stand here.
Stop.
Sam stops.